Welcome to Shooting the Breeze. We're coming to you live from the Key Centre. We're a while before the game between the Bendigo Spirit and Sydney Flames, game two of the finals, tips off. And joining me here, we've got Emma Clark. Emma, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Hi, thank you. Yes, awesome to be here.
So, Emma, it's been a pretty roller coaster ride this season. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we've also seen some pretty interesting games during the final series.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, for anybody who's listening who doesn't know you, yeah, let's get a bit of a background on you. Now, you're from Western Australia.
Yes, I am. Best place on earth.
Best place on earth. And how did you get into basketball?
Oh, I did lots of sports growing up, like through school and everything like that. But I would say my dad got me into basketball. And I think, yeah, just being such a competitive sport and being able to play multiple positions and run everywhere, I took a liking to it. And, yeah, I just fell in love with the game and the competitiveness and, yeah, just wanted to be better at the craft and work on it every day. So, yeah.
And that's how you got yourself here?
I did.
And I suppose one of the questions that always comes up for people is, you know, you've got to balance because, you know, it's not a fully professional sport yet. Mm-hmm. So you've got to balance practice, playing, jobs, study.
Yeah.
How do you find yourself managing your time for all those sorts of different things?
Yeah, definitely need good organizational skills, which my parents have definitely helped me with over the years. But no, I would say just prioritizing what you need to at the time and not thinking too far ahead. Like, you know, if you have an exam coming up, like that might be your main focus. But for me, I feel like I would always get a basketball workout in the morning. So basketball's done and, you know, I can focus on those things like university or work or, you know, other commitments that I might have. So yeah, just about time management and balancing the day, scheduling, like, you know, preparing for the week's a big one on the calendar. So yeah.
Sure. So having come from Perth to Sydney, mm-hmm, how do you find Sydney? Because I mean, we've recently been to Perth, and for me it was the first time in Perth for about 12-14 years.
Yeah.
Perth's changed a huge amount. That's yeah, right. How do you find Sydney?
Yeah, I really like Sydney. It's definitely, like you said, different to Perth. I would say it's a bit more busy and, you know, everything's moving a bit at a faster pace, but that's kind of what I like, you know, having 6 months here of the year and, you know, being in traffic and, you know, at the shops, people moving around really quick and, you know, but I guess I went to a Drake concert last week, you know, I might not have that luxury in Perth or, you know, going to see all the beaches, you know, the Opera House, all those things, which is really cool. But yeah, different pace to Perth, but yeah, I do like living here and yeah, having a good time.
I think you're the first person who said anything positive about Sydney traffic that I've ever met.
Well, it's just different, right? Like, I mean, it's not great. Sometimes I definitely get frustrated. Like, we don't have tolls in Perth, so that's definitely different. But, yeah, just, like, more hustle and people going places into the city. And, you know, we live, obviously, here in Olympic Park, but the traffic to get to the beach is, challenging. But, you know, we still make the trip. But, I do enjoy Sydney, yeah.
Okay, and favourite beach?
Oh, Coogee, for sure.
Coogee?
Yeah. I just love the cafes there and just the vibe of the beach is really awesome. But I guess, yeah, a few of us, like Izzer and Bonnie and I, like we go beach hunting, you could say. Like we try to explore a different one every week, which is really cool. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Now, I want to talk about finals.
Yeah.
Teams in for the first time in 7 years.
Yes.
And I want to talk about this a little bit because it hasn't been just as straightforward as a lot of people would think.
Yeah.
You know, and this is something we've spoken to Guy Malloy about as well. It's 2 weeks before the season started, there was issues with the roster straight away. Didi was injured.
Yeah.
Loz couldn't come back for this season because she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Automatically, it starts to change things around.
Yeah.
You got to scramble to get additional people on the roster. Mm-hmm. And then as the season's progressed, it was a bit of a slow start, then things started to come good, then there were injuries, sickness.
Yep.
And it's just been a real rollercoaster ride all season.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious to find out from your perspective,
yeah,
as a player being there, mm-hmm, how did you find it?
Yeah, roller coaster is definitely the word for it. Because obviously, you know, I've been signed like in the off season, and yeah, going through whole like, you know, DD and Loz planning to be on the team, and then yeah, with their outs and bringing new people in, and yeah, it has been crazy since the start for sure. But I do think it's like where we're at now, you know, in the second game of finals, like it's just a testament to the whole organization, the club, all our players that we have that are still healthy, and you know, our coaching staff, like going, getting through this adversity the whole year. But yeah, no, trainings have still been really competitive. And I think we've just had that next man up mentality the whole year. And, you know, people have been in and out and we just have to adapt. And that's just professional sport. So just got to roll with the punches, I guess.
And I mean, one of the things that I've noticed, and I think it's been really good the way it's been done, is even the injured players mm-hmm. are on the bench.
Yeah.
And when we were talking, we've been speaking to other players from the team, we've been saying there's been contributions mm-hmm. from the players on the bench. So from your perspective, mm-hmm. what do you feel it's you provide mm-hmm. from the bench to the other players on the team?
Yeah, I would say, like, obviously you don't see everything by not being in the action on the court, but, you know, Michaela Roof, you know, she was providing a lot of input, you know, in timeouts and stuff when girls would come out, things that she would see. And, you know, I just think we've all contributed, whoever's been out, like, you know, pulling somebody aside saying, oh, hey, like on this action, make sure you get over the screen, or, you know, just little reminders throughout the game. But also just, yeah, being everybody's number one hype woman, I guess, it's really awesome. You know, we have some great people that can really shoot the ball, and we get up and about and yeah, really get around each other. So definitely like positive energy, and you know, just, you know, counting, you know, even at practice, counting numbers and shooting drills and high fives, yeah, just to keep everybody connected is yeah, been what we've been able to do.
And you know, I'm always curious when I see the players on the bench. Mm-hmm. You guys always seem to be really pumped, mm-hmm. right? And I suppose to a lot of people who are looking at it from the outside, they're looking at you guys, athletes, unable to get on the floor.
Yeah.
You're sitting there, and I suppose they think, how do you psych yourself up to stay pumped when really you want to be out there?
Yeah, I mean, it is tough. I mean, obviously, for me, it's been like a few weeks now that I haven't been able to actually get on the court, but I still feel like it's the same for all of us. Like, we're at every practice, we're at every team meeting that's, you know, that, you know, in Sydney, obviously not on the road, but you know, we're in it all the time. So I think, you know, talking about the scout and the upcoming game and being involved, watching all of practice, like, we're in it. So, you know, we are in it, and we want to give and be involved as much as we can and support our teammates.
Also looking at where the teams ended up, mm. right? In the top four.
Yeah.
Given all the adversity the team's been through. It really, you got to ask the what if.
Yeah.
How do you think the team would be performing now if you had a healthier roster?
Oh, I mean, million-dollar question. I don't know. I do think we would be in a pretty good spot. I definitely think we would, you know, still be in the top four. And, yeah, I guess it's just so hard to say with the what if, because the girls that contributed to get us to this point done an amazing job. And, yeah, if you think about all the ins and outs and people that we've had, you know, obviously we would – all want to be healthy, but I'm sure we're all very happy with the result, and the club's happy with, you know, our ability to just make finals, like you said, first time in 7 years. So it's like you want to change things, but, you know, that's just how the chips fell. So, yeah, it's tough.
So the other question is, how do you think this sets the team up mm-hmm. next season?
Oh, That's a really good question. I definitely think we, you know, making finals now is going to be definitely something that we're going to try to do every year. Not that we haven't in the past, but, you know, that benchmark is going to be there, and, you know, hopefully one better, two better the next year. And, again, still competing for that championship. So I think that's the mentality, and what the club are really trying to build is, you know, a winning organization and, you know, putting more banners in the rafters. So I think everybody will be really pumped to get back, especially, you know, I'm contracted for next year, and, you know, praying the injuries keep far, far away from me. I can be on the court and contribute to wins and just go out there and play with my team.
So, I mean, let's talk about the semi-final series so far.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Townsville and Perth.
Mm-hmm.
The first game was tight. It was a close game. I don't know about you, but watching the game last night, I was pretty stunned by the result and the way that game. From your point of view, how did you see that game play out?
Yeah, definitely. I think Perth came out like out the gates fast. I think, you know, being a do or die game for them, you know, the way they started like 13-2 or something it was in the first quarter before the first time out was called. I mean, everything was happening for them. And then I just think, they slowly just, you know, got into foul trouble, you know, probably didn't shoot the ball as typically, you know, the Perth Lynx would. Yep. Their identity of being like a shooting, running and gunning team just wasn't, you know, happening for them early on. And I think, Townsville really just exploited them inside with their import Amihia on fouls. And, you know, Cox was getting inside and, you know, they were just able to exploit those pick and rolls. And, rebounding was a factor. And, it was a tough game for the Lynx for sure.
I think you touched on a couple of things there. The first one, Amihia going out on foul from fouls. That wasn't something that I would have expected to see. But she got into foul trouble pretty early.
Yes, no, exactly. And I think there was, I think her third foul was like a reach in foul on the baseline, which I'm sure if she looked back at probably would have thought twice about. But it's tough. And, you know, with a player like her being so athletic and, you know, versatile and a real weapon in the league, like, she just needs to be on the court and getting in that early foul trouble, it, you know, forces Brian to go into his bench. And I guess that's just not how they've been playing the whole year. And in a finals game, you want to have your best people on the court and giving yourself the best opportunity to win. But sometimes you just can't control those things.
No, you can't. I suppose, like, watching it at home, what surprised me was, like you said, they came out hard at the beginning of the first quarter. They're really playing to their regular style. And after that timeout, it was like, I don't know what Shannon said to him, but it was like a switch was flicked.
Yeah.
And the D stepped up. They took them out of their regular style of play. And it started to become harder. And you could see from the fact that a lot of their shots weren't dropping. They were just off.
Yeah.
That they seemed to be a bit rattled by the adjustments that were made.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, again, being that do or die game, it puts a lot of pressure on them as well. You know, even for Townsville, you know, in front of their home fans, like they're trying to get the win. And I think that's where, you know, they were a bit tight at the start of the game. But, you know, hopefully Shannon was able to settle them down in that timeout. And, you know, if they did lose, then they were going all the way back to Perth, which is a tough road trip for sure. But, I think both teams had a lot on the line. But, Townsville were just able to capitalize at the end of the day.
Yeah, one of the things that I wanted to ask about is, you played in Townsville.
Yeah.
What's it like with that crowd?
Yeah, that crowd is something else for sure. It's funny though. I actually do have some family in the crowd when I go to Townsville, so they are cheering for Sydney. They're a really tough crowd. We played there last year in the last game of the regular season to try to make the final, and the crowd was, you can hear it through the live stream, not even being on the court, but, on the TV, it's, they have some great fans there in the fire pit, I think they call it.
Yeah, I mean, that place must get really loud.
Yeah, for sure, it does.
Do you guys find it hard when you're trying to communicate on court with the amount of noise that's coming out of the crowd?
Yeah, definitely. I think it just adds an extra element, but it just means you need to have tighter huddles and really be on the same page with play calls and, you know, hand signals or whatever that might be, and, just trusting each other. But, no, for sure, the crowd plays a big role. So hopefully tonight our crowd can have a big impact on the game for us too, make it tough for Bendigo out there.
Yeah, you know, look, everybody's saying, okay, Bendigo, they're the number one team. Mm-hmm. They've got all the weapons. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, even in that first game, the Flames, you dropped back, but you did fight back.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And I think it was a 9-point break.
Yeah, 9 points, yeah.
So you look at that and you kind of go, well, anything's possible.
100%. Yeah, no, for sure. And which is so crazy, I think, like you just touched on in that game, like, we didn't let down. Like, we just kept pushing back. And I think that's, again, like a testament to how we've been training and, you know, the things that Guy's been putting in and our discipline that we've been showing throughout the whole season. But, you know, it's coming to fruition now. And, yeah, that we just want to bring Bendigo a competitive game. And, yeah, it's definitely not over yet. So we're coming to play tonight for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Sammy got the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been absolutely on fire. Is she one of the main threats that the Flames have got to figure out a way to shut down? I mean, there are other options, but if you could shut her down or at least slow down her scoring, do you think that could upset their style of play?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Sammy's a great player. I've played with her in the Perth Lynx and, yeah, have nothing but amazing things to say about her. And I do think, yeah, she's the MVP of the league for sure. But, yeah, no, that's definitely been a big focus of ours, is how we're going to limit her impact on the game, because she is, you know, such a great contributor on the scoring side, but also creating for her teammates. But Bendigo are, you know, a very deep team. And, you know, with Abby Wirung being named the Sixth Woman of the Year, I think that's just another testament to how good of a team they are. But yeah, we've got some great players on our team too. And I think aren't going to be shy to the matchups, and yeah, really going to take it at them tonight, because yeah, we again have nothing to lose. We're just going to go out there and compete and play our style of basketball. And yeah, hopefully we come up with the win.
I think that's something people underestimate, that whole, you know, you've got nothing left to lose.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It really switches it up for the team that's in that situation, because now you can go, you know, you're playing pretty much for all marbles.
Yeah. Tonight. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When you guys are talking in the locker room, right, before a game or at practice, and you're kind of particularly focusing on this game, What's the attitude and what's the feeling in the locker room when you're looking at this situation?
Yeah, I think it's and a big thing amongst the group, I would say, is we're not looking like, oh, this could be our last game. I think we're looking as if it's play by play, like 100%. Like, we're putting so much faith, and I think all the girls would really agree with me in the fact that, you know, we buy into Guy and the coaching staff's game plan, and you know, we only can execute that play by play, quarter by quarter. Like, we don't want to be looking too far ahead to the end or things like that, especially this week. Like, of practice, we execute what we need to one day of practice, and we show up the next day and do the same thing. So I know there's been a lot of talk, especially after the game last night, saying, you know, that Townsville should be preparing for Bendigo, which I think is really tough to say and put out there on the media, because, you know, I know it was a tough game and we went down the first game on Sunday, but, you know, we're still coming out here to compete. And like I said, it's just, yeah, one possession at a time, one quarter at a time, and we're going to do everything we can to get this win.
And it's interesting you say that, because I was talking to our producer, Mary, and one of the things that she was wondering about is the coaching staff have a strategy for the whole game.
Yeah.
But you guys are also having a look at the game, not only at that full strategic, you know, four quarter view, you've also got to look at it, like you just said, play by play, quarter by quarter.
Yeah.
Like, to someone who's not really across basketball, how do you get your head around that kind of thought process?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is tough, and it's a mindset that you have to have for sure. But, you know, we have specific things that we're trying to achieve, like we just spoke about, like with Sammy limiting her touches and her impact on the game, but also like how we're defending pick and rolls and how we want to pick up the ball, all those things. So I think, yeah, just being in the mindset that it is just one at a time. And if, you know, it doesn't go our way for a few possessions, we make sure we get a really good huddle and lock back into our focuses, because at the end of the day, like, that's the only thing that we can control.
Now, completely unrelated to play, right? Because we're getting towards the back end of the show. I'm really curious, who is the funniest person on the team?
The funniest? Oh, we have some good ones, hey? I would say Kayla is absolutely hilarious, but also Michaela Roof, living with her, she's definitely a comedy amongst the group. But yeah, no, they're great. I feel like everybody, yeah, we all get along so well, and everybody's got their own little quirks and, you know, things like that. But yeah, I would say Kayla is comedy to be around.
Okay, and see, to a lot of people who just watch, that's probably the last person they'd figure you'd be calling out of it. And the reason is because when you watch Kayla on the floor, she is one of the fiercest competitors.
Yeah, for sure.
There is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily always jibe in that, you know. Now, we've interviewed Carla before, and I agree with you. She's really funny.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, to people who are sitting in the crowd or watching on TV, they look at Carla and they just see fierce, competitive, you know, I want to win. I want to do the best. I want to help the team get to the goal.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that you say that Kayla is one of the funniest people on the team. And Michaela, yes, definitely. Yeah. And I'm sure if you ask her really nicely,
yeah,
she can tell you that there's blooper reels from years gone by that she starred in.
Okay. All right.
I'm not sure if she'll Michaela, remember if all you're of them.
Yeah. But no, like you just touched on, yeah, I think, but Kayla's just such a great leader, and I think she can definitely, she sets the tone for us a lot of the time. And yeah, but I guess we just have to say, like, it's not, it can't be serious all the time. Like, it has to be enjoyable. And we do see each other almost every day. And, you know, you want to come to a fun, enjoyable work environment. And her being a leader and our captain, I think, you know, by her bringing those good vibes and, you know, on the road, she's hilarious. But she, again, like you said, she is that fierce competitor, and she is a great leader, and, you know, time, appropriate place and time, all that stuff. But, she's awesome.
And, you know, we're now getting to that point where we're getting to, you know, we're getting the back end of the season. Changes happening to the WNBL as well.
Yeah.
I'm always curious to ask the athletes in the league, mm-hmm, how are you guys feeling about all the changes? Because there's going to be a lot of changes coming. They're not necessarily all going to happen at once.
Yeah.
So how are you guys feeling about it?
Yeah, definitely excited. I think it's just like a step in the right direction, to be honest. And I think the whole purpose of this is to get more exposure, to get more fans, and, you know, just to get younger kids involved and just broaden our league. I think that's just the biggest thing. And, you know, what part of that is not exciting? And, and, you know, like, why would that not be enticing? So I think, yeah, although we don't know exactly what it looks like yet, I think, you know, a lot of the players and the clubs have a lot of faith in the new management, and we're just looking forward to seeing what's going to come of it, and it's in good hands. So yeah, it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it for sure.
And, you know, tonight's game, how do you think this game's going to play out? I don't know. It's a really tough question.
Yeah.
And I know it's kind of putting you out there, but, you know, sometimes from the people that are actually out there and they've been, you got a different perspective to what the, you know, the general crowds out there have.
Yeah.
How are you seeing this going?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've had a great week of practice, and we watched a lot of film after the last game when the girls got back from Bendigo. And yeah, I think we have made the adjustments throughout the week, and everybody's locked in to the task at hand. And yeah, I just, like I said before, it is one play at a time, and I'm sure Bendigo are going to go on momentum runs, but, you know, we're going to as well. So we have a good team we're putting out there tonight, and I have full faith that, yeah, we'll have a great game and keep it competitive and, yeah, hopefully get the win.
Yeah, and I suppose the one thing that everybody was really kind of gutted by, mm-hmm, was Shanice going off the floor in the last game, and she's not taking to the floor tonight. Mm-hmm. It's a shame.
For sure.
She was like so on fire. She's been on fire all season. Mm-hmm. Right? But that, you know, to get that last opportunity to kind of show what you do.
Yeah.
Before, you know, WNBA season coming up, it must be tough.
Yeah, I mean, story of our season, right? Like, just the unexpected just happening. But, really tough for Shanice, but she's remained in good spirits and, yeah, going to be a great teammate tonight. But, really feeling for her and, you know, the other players I'm sitting next to tonight on the sideline. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just wishing it's a really good recovery for her and, yeah, that she'll be back out on the court soon.
Fantastic. Emma, it's been great having you on.
Thank you.
Great having an opportunity to talk to you. Looking forward to tonight's game and, you know, thanks for your time.
Yes, no, awesome. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod, and we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.